Some of you recognize, others I do not, my name is Allison Haynes, and I am the eldest daughter of Alan and Annette Haynes. I was born on August 16, 1981. I've grown up within the PCA Presbyterian Church all my life, being baptized in and first attending New Covenant Presbyterian Church in Aiken, South Carolina, until my parents and my family moved here in October of 1987. We became members of Community Presbyterian Church, and I came to Christ through a communicants class as a child, where the assistant pastor explained to us the gospel using Romans 6:23 as a tool. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And since then, Romans 6:23 has always been one of my favorite passages. After graduating from high school, it was not until I worked for the same school that I went to, which is Crossroads Christian School, that the Lord began to show me my spiritual gifts. My spiritual gifts were the gifts of love, encouragement, mercy, and service. And when I actually came to Briarwood, I found out I had the gift of missions. I used these gifts while undertaking the position for secretary of the school. Crossroads Christian School was a homeschool group, and it was a blessing to work for them. For I felt that through the gifts that God gave me, He was beginning to build me up spiritually and give me a desire to counsel and help others. God also gave me another gift physically. This gift I was born with and is a disability called spastic hemiplegia cerebral palsy. Hemiplegia just means that it affects just your one side of your body, which for me is my right side, and spastic just means that my muscles are tight. My symptoms are grand mal seizures, although I grew out of these at the age of 13, lack of balance, some loss of feeling in my right side. And to give you an example of that, I can actually put a napkin in my right hand when I'm eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And the napkin can get so, because my hand closes and opens, but especially closes, the napkin gets so small that I won't be able to feel it anymore. And I can easily leave it in there until 2 or 3 hours later when I put another napkin in my right hand and it falls to the ground. So I'm like, darn, Lord, that was my breakfast napkin. I used to get mad at myself for doing that, but now I just feel like it's just part of God's sense of humor. But anyway, I also have a learning disability. And this learning disability is how God led my parents to the decision of homeschooling me. Because while in first grade, I was having trouble with my subjects, particularly math. Over the years, my parents worked with me, and God made it possible for me to receive my high school diploma on May 21st, 2000. I was proud to get it, but learned that the Lord did not have any college plans for me, for I was unable to even comprehend algebra up to calculus, the higher mathematics. But I believed that this meant that God had a purpose for me. While I was working for Crossroads, I was diagnosed with TMJ. TMJ is when your jaw pops every time you take a bite to eat or yawn, and you have migraine headaches. My headaches got so horrible that my mom took me to the doctor. After examining me, my doctor asked me to get an MRI to make sure that nothing more was wrong. When he got the results, he showed it to my mom and I. The MRI revealed that one side of my brain was clear, but the other side was totally dark. Maybe one-fourth of it was clear. And he told us that I could easily have a huge cyst in my brain. And he wanted me to go see a neurosurgeon. I was startled, and yet I prayed silently, Lord, let your will be done. And we went to see him, but the surgeon didn't think there was anything wrong. He just told me, you have cerebral palsy. So what had happened was the doctor, my general practitioner, had seeing, the dark area was my cerebral palsy. I didn't know that. I've never seen my cerebral palsy on an MRI before. I just, for some reason, thought it was invisible. Somehow the doctors knew it was cerebral palsy. So that was a shock to me, and God taught me a huge medical lesson at that point. So I was shocked to be re-diagnosed with my disability. But as I sat there, I felt God's peaceful presence whisper in my ear, "You're made for more." I didn't understand what God was doing at the time, but He was very much in control. The doctor sent us right across the hall to see a neurologist for my headaches. When he saw my MRI, he was so shocked, he cursed it out and told me I had half a brain and should be a vegetable, but was amazed to see that it looked like I didn't have a disability except for my right hand. As soon as he made that comment, I knew that I didn't agree with him in one way, because as I began to think of what God has accomplished in my life so far, it's like for my appearance, God was saying, "But I did not make you this way. I had a better plan for you. Just as I said to Jeremiah, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart.'" And the word "set you apart" for me personally meant my disability compared to those who had none. In another way, I did believe him, but I knew that he meant I had a whole brain. Just one side was underdeveloped, and God, being the almighty creator and physician he is, designed the undamaged area of my brain to take control over what is damaged and perform those functions. Thinking all of this, I felt like I wanted to sing out the song "Amazing Grace" in my heart. And it wouldn't be until that night that God would make things clearer, knowing that I was overwhelmed in the day's events. As I opened my Bible, God led me to John 9:1-3, which says, "As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' said Jesus, 'but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life.'" At that moment, I understood. It had nothing to do with my TMJ or my cerebral palsy. God was showing me how sovereign He was over my life. He was showing me how to look at His perspective when I faced certain crises. Psalm 139:14 says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wonderful are His works. After 4 years of working with Crossroads, I moved on to work with the Wales Global Ministry and moved from Pell City to Birmingham in April 2008. It didn't take me long to find a church, because God's calling was for me to join Briarwood in September of that same year. I joined the choir because I loved to sing, and I began settling in. One of my settlements was joining a Bible study with Dr. Barker. And in one lesson one night, the subject was on the sovereignty of God. A question arose among the crowd about Jesus dying for just the elect and not for everyone. My father, who is an elder in the Presbyterian Church, had taught on the 5 points of Calvinism. And when I was old enough, I had joined his class, where he taught about TULIP, which is an acronym for the 5 points. TULIP standing for total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints. I thought I had understood the points he made, but that night in the Bible study, the question that arose had not occurred to me in that way before. I don't remember if the question was ever answered. I'm sure it was, I just don't remember. But I know I went home that night confused over what I thought I understood all these years. I borrowed my father's book called Chosen by God by R.C. Sproul, and God brought out a section that R.C. Sproul wrote. He said, "Certainly it is within God's power to change the heart of every impenitent sinner and bring that sinner to himself. If he lacks such power, then he is not sovereign. If he has that power, why doesn't he use it for all? The only answer I can give to this question is that I don't know. I have no idea why God saves some but not all. I don't doubt for a moment that God has the power to save all, but I know that He does not choose to save all. One thing I do know, if it pleases God to save some and not all, there is nothing wrong with that. God is not under obligation to save anybody. If He chooses to save some, that in no way obligates Him to save the rest. Again, the Bible insists it is God's divine prerogative to have mercy upon whom He will have mercy. After reading it, I felt like the Holy Spirit deepened my understanding of God's sovereignty and knew that though we don't understand all of God's purposes, He is still sovereign. At the same time, there were two passages that the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to go back and read. They were Matthew 22:14, which says, "Many are invited, but few are chosen." And then there's also the ninth chapter of Romans. I've read these passages hundreds of times, but this time it felt different, and I looked at them with a new perspective, both being passages that I thought I understood. So I thought about the word tulip again and realized I never understood all the points, particularly the points unconditional election and limited atonement until now. As of today, my desire in using my spiritual gifts has grown, and recently I felt the call to build them up and use them for God's purpose even more. By gaining skills in counseling, I enrolled in Birmingham Theological Seminary in September 2010 to gain a biblical counseling degree. On March 31st, 2014, the Lord began directing me to a time of transition in my career. From the moment I stepped down from working with the Wells Global Ministry, I did not realize how God was going to use me, and I began to feel like my mind was all clogged up. The only thing I knew was to begin looking for full-time work, but at the same time, I was also reading God's Word, and I was slowly beginning to find that God was going to use this moment to draw me closer to Himself by building up my patience. There were various passages that God led me to, such as Psalms 27:13-14, Psalms 46, Romans 8:28, Isaiah 41:10. Another verse was from the book of Job. It says in chapter 2, verse 10, "But he said to her, 'You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?'" I already knew that if God chose to bring adversity in my life, He would always have a purpose to bring out the good from that adversity. But on that day, it struck me different. I knew that no matter how many times I filled out applications and then was rejected either before or after an interview, I was reminded He was still in control. In May 2014, I was contacted for reception substitute at United Cerebral Palsy of Greater Birmingham, which is now known as United Ability. The human resource director told me that this position would be a good way to get my foot in the door for other positions that I wanted, especially work that was full-time. I took the job and was grateful to God for bringing me into a new atmosphere. During that time, I learned that I wanted to work one-on-one with people who have similar disabilities such as I have, and after a while, I began to apply for more positions, like a teaching assistant position. But none of them God led me to. When the receptionist substitute position became available to become full-time work, I was excited. I was told I was going to have an interview, but an hour before that interview happened, I got a call from the supervisors over that job telling me I did not receive it due to not being fast enough when I had to do four or five things at the same time. I was deeply disappointed, and yet God continued to encourage me. After being in tears, I searched the scriptures and found 2 Corinthians 12:8-9, which says, "And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me.' Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Christ's power does dwell in me, and I do not want to dismiss anything that I am weak in. It only makes me stronger. One example of being strengthened is when I had applied for a teaching assistant position at Covenant Classical School. I received 2 interviews, and at the second one, I was surprised to see how God turned this interview around by not only being interviewed for a teaching assistant position, but a receptionist as well. They chose to shadow me while trying to create a job for me, and I remember praying, God, if this be your will, let your will be done. While praying, God showed me another passage in the Bible, which was 2 Corinthians 5:5-7. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. That is what caught my eye. And while waiting, I began to pray that way. When God's timing did come, the job they wanted to create for me did not happen. I would usually be in tears at this time, but this time I felt very strong. As I heard the news, I knew it was from the faith that God had been building up in me. While working for United Ability, I was inspired to begin volunteering at a church with the Special Connections Ministry, and I have loved serving with them ever since. Not only did this ministry build up my skills working with people with disabilities that are similar to my own, but it deepens my passion serving them, getting to be able to work with those who have special needs and serving the Lord at the same time. And I jump at the chance every time there is an opportunity to serve this ministry. Finally, on May 3rd, 2017, God's timing for more permanent part-time work came. I received a call from the state coordinator of People First of Alabama, which is an organization that I had already been volunteering for, that teaches people with disabilities how to advocate for themselves and to know their rights and responsibilities so that they can have more choices in life and be more independent. Such rights as you have the right to vote, you have the right to be employed, you have the right to live out on your own, and so on. The state coordinator told me that she would like for me to be their outreach coordinator and that I would be working 2 days a week, 10 to 15 hours per week. It is not a full-time job, but I told her I would be absolutely honored to have it. It is a clerical position, but I am also working one-on-one with people with disabilities that have similar disabilities such as I have. My prayer is that he will one day turn this position into full-time work, but the Lord has yet to show me this. In April 2019, the Lord directed me to another part-time job, working for a family whose daughter has autism. I became her personal care worker by helping her to communicate, assisting her and being with her while she's going to physical therapy or medical appointments, and just being a friend. Today, though these jobs are not true full-time work, it feels like full-time work, and I'm very happy. Yet I know that God is not finished with me. I love my volunteer work with the Special Connections Ministry, and I recently applied for 2 positions that are open within the ministry. I also have recently graduated from Birmingham Theological Seminary with my certificate in biblical counseling. It was last year that I graduated. And I'm now in their master's program. As I still think about John 9:1-3, the most impactful verse among every passage God has given me, I remember Christ's words and I think how it applies to me. that God is glorified in the way that He formed me. And this goes for any disability, whether your child has cerebral palsy, autism, Down syndrome, any disability. I'm still praying for further guidance, and we'll see where and how God leads me from here.